Chapter 11, verse 26. Acts 11, 26. I know in this audience this morning we have public school teachers. I also know that we have public school students. We also in this audience have many who homeschool their kids. And we want to be, we'd be amiss not to mention them and the importance of each role that is played. And we certainly don't think we're the end all when it comes to educating kids. Amen? And we do have a good school system, the Northwest ISD, comparatively speaking to the rest of the nation. I'm just amazed at what's going on in our world today. And so I appreciate all those who serve in those other capacities. If you are members of our church, you know that we don't mention the school a whole lot from the pulpit. We rarely ever do. We don't make it the main part. We have many ministries of our church, and this is one of them, and certainly an important one, but we want to understand and make sure you understand that. I think it's a blessing. We homeschooled our kids early on, except for our youngest one who was, he's sitting in the audience this morning. And so he's 16 now, but we put him in a Christian school. But our oldest one, our middle boy, homeschooled, went to Christian school a couple of years of their education. And so we believe there are various avenues which educate. I do believe, and I think we have the best Christian school in the world. I think we have the best church in the world, so I'm a little prejudiced, so it's good. I appreciate, again, all those who are serving and working in Heritage Christian Academy. I'm just going to preach on worship this morning, and the bulletin's actually, that's the bulletin, the sermons in the bulletin are actually the sermons for last week. They weren't changed. That's sorry on our end. And so this morning I decided to go ahead and preach a message that I've been preaching the last 3 or 4 years concerning the Christian school. And so we find this in Acts 11, verse 26. We see that Barnabas departs to seek after Saul in verse 26 and says, "And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." So here they are gathered at the city of Antioch, and it says they're called Christians first at Antioch. If you remember when Paul appeared before King Agrippa and gave him the gospel, gave his testimony to him, Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, that King Agrippa says to Paul, he says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." A Christian. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And that's what we'll cover this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. Certainly would not want to come into this hour without your spirit presence. And I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit be evident among us. I pray that souls will be saved and lives be touched and changed. And again, help us and be reminded of what it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. What is it to be a Christian? Well, as we've said the last 3 or 4 years, what is it not to be a Christian? In other words, what is it not to be a Christian? Well, it's not being born in the United States of America. Being a Christian is not being born in the United States of America. In other words, our American heritage does not automatically make us Christians. 15% now, by way of survey, says that they are atheists in America. Mr. Barack Obama said that we are not a Christian nation. I disagree with him. But we remind ourselves this morning that there are still a majority of Americans who would claim to be Christians. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? This is a Christian nation. Being a Christian is not being born into a Christian family. In other words, being a Christian is not has nothing to do with our family heritage. I was born into a family that was Christian by name. And then my dad, at the age of, when I was 2 years old, my dad got into church. And I don't know that he's missed a Sunday since. I'm thankful for the heritage I have and not only the Christian heritage, but the church heritage I have of being in church since I was 2 years old and being baptized at 6 years of age, getting saved at six and being baptized at the age of six and growing up in a fundamental Baptist church. I'm so thankful for that. By the way, somebody asked me the other day, what does fundamental mean? Fundamental means I just believe in the fundamentals of the faith, the basics of the faith. It means I believe I'm a biblical Baptist. I just believe the book. I follow the book. Fundamentalists. So raised in church. Being raised in church does not make you a Christian. Being baptized in a baptistry does not make you a Christian. Being raised in a Christian home does not make you a Christian. Again, being born in the United States of America does not make you a Christian. What is a Christian? Well, the word Christian means Christ-like. It means an imitator of Christ, one who imitates Christ. To be a Christian, one must first off be born again. One must be saved. One must know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We see Jesus saying there to Nicodemus, Jesus answered him and said unto him, you must be born again. You must be born again. Not that you might be born again or you should be. Listen, you must be born again. In order to escape hell, have a home in heaven, one must be born again a second time. Have a spiritual birth. I have two birthdays. March 4th, 1974. I'm 44. March 12th, 1980, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. That's my spiritual birthday. I was born again. My spirit was quickened, made alive by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. How are we to be born again? How are we to be saved? How is our spirit to be made alive? Again, by recognizing that we're sinners. I am a sinner by nature. I am selfish by nature. You do not have to teach a child. You do not have to teach a teenager. You don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. A child is selfish by nature. You have to teach them otherwise. Many times by applying the Board of Education, the seat of understanding. Right? You have to teach them otherwise. And so we are all born sinners. We are all born selfish by nature, recognizing that we are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners by nature. Understand that there's a price to be paid for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. In other words, sin must be paid for. We live in a day and age in which everybody thinks that God is love and so forth, and that's all they believe He is. And absolutely, God is love. The Bible makes that very clear. One of His absolute attributes. God is love, but God is also a just God. He's also a God of judgment, and sin must be paid for. In other words, He can't just allow sin to be bypassed or sin to be, you know, covered up in some way as to say, hey, we'll get by with this or we'll get by with that. No, sin must be paid for. That's what it says. The wages or the penalty of sin is death. Revelation chapter 20 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The penalty for sin is hell. The punishment for sin is hell. Say, preacher, you're one of them hell, fire, damnation, preaching. Well, it's true. It's in the Bible. Hell is just as real as heaven is. And we need to be reminded once in a while that, again, there's a penalty for sin, and that penalty is death. Physical death and spiritual death. In order to escape hell, in order to be made alive spiritually, one must come through the cross of Jesus Christ. One must see Jesus. One must come to Him and believe that He lived and He died and He rose again. And we must trust in Him and Him alone as our only means of escaping God's wrath, and the only means of escaping hell, the only means of escaping that punishment upon our sin, the only means of escaping God's wrath is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said Himself, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The only way you're going to come to God, the only way you're going to come to the Father is through the mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the one who spans the chasm. He is the one who bridges the gap between God and man. He is the reconciler, one who reconciles God and man and brings them back into fellowship with each other. We are born in enmity with God, and it's Christ who brings us back into fellowship with Jesus. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And at that time, the Holy Spirit came and lives in me. At that time, I was reconciled unto God. And from the age of 6 years old till now, I've had fellowship with God. My home is heaven. I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, You know I have no friend like You. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I'm looking forward to the day Salvation is found in understanding we're sinners, recognizing that we're sinners, understanding there's a price for sin, understand that Jesus Christ came and paid that price for us, that he died on the cross, that he paid sin's debt on the cross of Calvary by dying there and shedding his blood on Calvary. Now, you're talking about a covering of sin. The Bible says his blood is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that word propitiation means simply covering. He is the covering of, for our sins. His blood covers our sins. I'm thankful for the salvation I found in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope there's a day in which you called upon the name of the Lord. I hope there's a day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The greatest day of your life will be that day as you put your faith in Jesus Christ. In order to be a Christian, one must be born again. One must be born again. I'm thankful upon salvation that the Holy Spirit comes and abides in me. That the Lord abides in me. Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. My spirit's been quickened. The Holy Spirit now abides there. He enables me to be a Christian, to live out the Christian life. He empowers me to live out the Christian life. In other words, the Holy Spirit is there to give us that power to be imitators of Jesus. Heritage Christian Academy endeavors to lead every child to Jesus. And can I tell you, Heritage Baptist Church endeavors to lead every child to Jesus. To see everyone accept Christ as their Savior. Every ministry of Heritage Baptist Church's goal is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every ministry. In order to be a Christian, one must be born again. Number two, a Christian is one who reads the Bible. The Bible is our roadmap for life. If you are a Christian here this morning, this book is our roadmap. It is our guide for everything concerning life. A Christian studies and follows the book. Why? Because God wrote the book. God wrote the book. This is the greatest book on earth. Unparalleled it stands. Its author God, its truth divine, inspired in every word and line, though writ by human hands. This is the living rock of truth, which all assaults defy. Through every stormy blast of time, it towers with majesty sublime. It lives and never dies. This is the volume of the cross. Its saving truth is sure. Its doctrine's pure, its history true. Its gospel old, yet ever new. I like the last line, shall evermore endure. He said, my words shall not pass away. It's the greatest book on earth. Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. As some of you know, I may read news too much. So GQ magazine, just a couple of days ago actually, put out an article. The article is Books You Don't Have to Read. It's GQ magazine. Books You Don't Have to Read. They give about 21 or so. I think it's 25. It says 21, but I think they actually added to it this year. This is one they come out with every year. Well, this year they added the Bible to it. They said Books You Don't Have to Read. Here's what they say about the Bible. The Holy Bible is rated very highly by all the people who supposedly live by it, but who actually have not read it. Those who have read it know there are some good parts, but overall, it is certainly not the finest thing that a man has ever produced. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, foolish, and even at times ill-intentioned. If the thing you heard was good about the Bible was the nasty bits, in other words, then I propose you could read The Notebook. That's another book, some of you may know. A marvelous tale of two brothers who have to get along when things get rough. So instead of reading the Bible, just go read The Notebook. The subtlety and cruelty of this story is like the famous sword stroke from below of the boat that plunged upward through the bowels, the lungs, and the throat, and into the brain of the rower, so forth and so on. And they do some other mocking of the Bible. That's GQ magazine. I hope you don't have a subscription to that one. I can just tell you, our world, that's where it's going. It's already there. Can I tell you, this is the greatest book in all the earth. It's still the bestseller in all the world. There was some survey done of how many is still produced every year. It's millions, millions that are sold and produced every year. This is my guide for life. Not some self-help book. Not some motivational speaker on TV. This is my guide for life. This is my guide on how to deal with my family, how to raise my children. This is my guide on how to deal with my finances. This is my guide. You say, well, why would you put so much trust in a book? Because God wrote this book. I don't think there's any higher authority than God, or anyone I could trust more than God. I'll just stick with the book, the greatest book. Again, most of you understand and know that America was founded on Judeo-Christian or Judeo-Christian principles. In fact, the first primers, the first textbooks in our public school system all had the Bible in them. If you read the first primer, in other words, how they taught kids to read, in that book are scriptures all throughout it. Maybe our founding fathers didn't intend for the Bible not to be in our schools. It's ridiculous. In fact, it's preposterous to even think upon that our founding fathers did not intend, they did intend for the Bible to be a part of the fabric of our society, and certainly in our school systems. Educators and judges, and I'll just call them liberals, who have kicked and booted Christianity out of the schools to its detriment. Absolutely. I need an amen. Amen. Appreciate that. I'm thankful today that our school teaches the Word of God. The Bible is the foundation for all subjects, and the Bible will continue to be that. I'm thankful Heritage Baptist Church standing upon the Word of God. And in this politically correct age that we continue to stand for the Word of God, unashamed. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news. I tell you what, we live in a world of dark and bad news. Man, the greatest news we have is found in this book. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, a Christian is one who tells others of Jesus. In other words, a Christian is one who shares their faith. And by not only our testimony, but how we live, but also verbally confronting people and telling them the good news of salvation, telling others we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel simply does mean the good news, giving out the good news. And at Heritage Christian Academy, we encourage and help our students to share their faith. We're all to share our faith. Have you shared your faith lately? I was talking to my brother yesterday, and he said every week I confront somebody with the gospel. I can't say that maybe I've done that every week, maybe from this pulpit, but I'm talking about personally on your own. Every week, telling somebody of the gospel, asking them, do you know Jesus? That's the word my brother used. He said, every week I ask somebody, do you know Jesus? My brother's a great soul winner. Over a period of about 6 years, he led 200 people to the Lord. I'm proud of him. He's a great soul winner. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Number four, a Christian is one who has a love and fear for God. And a fear for God. Jesus loved the Father and obeyed Him. Job 28, verse 28 says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Jesus, again, loved His Father. He said, not my will, but thine will be done. He yielded to God and to His Father. Can I remind you this morning, Christian, that our purpose is to glorify God? I'm talking about the purpose of our life. The purpose of our existence. You say, well, I just don't know why I'm here on earth. Here's why you're here. Here is your purpose. You ready? It's to glorify God and enjoy a relationship with Him forever. It simplifies everything, doesn't it? That everything in my life should be done to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all to the glory of God. We ought to glorify Him in everything that we do. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, that you are not your own? I'm going to turn over and read that verse. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. This is what it says, which is God's. My body is not mine. This life that I live here is not mine. It's been bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid for me on Calvary. He gave his life for me on Calvary. He shed his blood that my sins might be forgiven. I might have a home in heaven. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Lift up God. Make him known through what you do and what you say. At Heritage Christian Academy, we teach the golden rule. Right? Do unto others and have them do unto you. That used to be in my 8th grade science class on the back wall. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Matthew 7:12. Jesus said, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. And you go over to Matthew 22:34-40, you see that Jesus said, hey, love others as you love yourself. We teach the golden rule. In other words, I'm going to love God and fear him. I'm going to glorify God in my body. We teach the golden rule. We teach patriotism. I'm glad to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. We live in the greatest country on earth. I believe in the exceptionalism of America. Preacher, you believe that America is better than the rest? Yes. Because it is. Well, you think that... come talk to me, email me, whatever you want to do. I believe in it. And most of our presidents have believed in it, except the last one. The exceptionalism of America. This is the greatest country on earth. Why? Because of its foundation. Because of its foundation upon Judeo-Christian principles, upon the Bible, upon the Ten Commandments. And we're going to just lift up the Ten Commandments in the school. We're going to lift up the Ten Commandments in Sunday school and in children's church. And we're going to teach that children ought to honor and obey their parents. For this is right. That they may have long life. If you want your children to have a long life, you want them to behave blessed of God, then they should honor and obey you. Yeah. We're just going to continue to lift up the golden rule. We're going to continue to lift up that there's consequences for one's actions. There's consequences for one's actions. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again, he goes on to say, for if you reap unto the spirit, the flesh, if you reap unto the flesh, you're going to sow the same thing and reap the same thing. Listen, we understand that you reap what you sow. All right, that went over good. We believe in individual responsibility because the Bible places individual responsibility on the individual. We're going to teach that we're accountable to God. Listen, we teach this in Sunday school, in our curriculums, in our school. We are accountable to God. Why? Because he's our creator. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and power. For thou hast created all things. And he goes on to say, for thy good pleasure they are and were created. He's our creator. I think if someone creates you, he's in charge. Pretty easy, isn't it? Accountability to the Creator. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The point is this. A Christian is one who fears God, obeys Him. A Christian is one who loves the Lord. Jesus said, if you love the Lord, you'll what? Keep my commandments. Obey Him. Obey Him. There's lots more. A Christian is one who strives to live as Christ lived. You say, well, obeying him, what does that mean? Obeying him means to follow in his steps. Obeying means to walk after him, to follow him. To obey him or to means to love him, and to love him means to follow him. In other words, I'm going to be an imitator of Christ. It really does come down to what would Jesus do? Would Jesus go there? Would Jesus say that? Would Jesus allow that to happen? Whatever the case is, that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That we strive to be imitators of Christ. We're going to teach this to our students. We're going to teach this in Sunday school. We're going to teach this in children's church. We're going to teach it in the adult classes to remind us adults that we're to follow Jesus. That we're to be followers of Him. That we're to be imitators of Christ at work. That Christianity is not just about coming to church on a Sunday morning and hearing a sermonette and going about our day and going about our week. No, it's to live for Christ Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To be imitators of Him. Listen, we were created by Him and for Him. He desires a personal relationship with you. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a set of rules. You say, well, Christianity, the Bible, is just about a bunch of do's and don'ts and blah, blah, blah. No, it's about Christ. And yes, there's a lot of do's and don'ts in there. And all those are written in there for our good, the Bible says. But when it essentially comes down, when you boil it all down, when you funnel it all down, when you summarize it down to its one essence, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. It's about a personal relationship with our Creator. It's about a personal relationship with our Savior. It's about a personal relationship with our Mediator, the one now who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for us, the one who cares for us, who loves us, and one who gave His life for us. He wants to have a relationship with you daily. And if we will daily walk with Him, if we will strive to daily walk with Him, we'll daily live for Him. You say, well, what did I get out of it? A better life. He said, Jesus said, I came not only to give life, talking about eternal life, but life more abundant. I tell you what, listen this morning, if you'll follow the book in raising your kids, if you'll follow the book in determining how you spend your money and do your finances, if you'll follow the Bible in all of life's aspects, your life will be better off. If you'll simply follow Jesus, you'll have a better life here. Not just in the life to come. I'm thankful heaven's my home. I'm thankful one day I will walk the streets of gold. I'm thankful one day I'll have a mansion. I'm thankful one day I'll enter those pearly gates, the big old pearl gates. That'll be something. And walk those streets of gold. I'm thankful for that, but I'm glad that Jesus loved me so much that He gives me a better life here and now. He came to give us a life more abundant, a joyful life. If you're a Christian this morning and you're just enduring life, something's not right. Life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. Kids were not meant to be endured. Kids were meant to be enjoyed. You say, yeah, up to the good teenager. No, they're supposed to be enjoyed all the time. If you'll just follow the book, you'll experience that joy. Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who strives to live as Christ lived. To follow in Him, to follow in His steps. At HCA and here at our church, we encourage one another that we are to be lights in the world. Ye are the light of the world. Jesus said, let us be lights to those around us. We live in a dark world, don't we? Just makes us a lot brighter if we'll live for Jesus. A greater contrast, if you'll live for Jesus, between us and this old world. A Christian is one who gives him or herself to the Lord, to yield to the Lord. Can we be reminded this morning that we're simply stewards of this life? Again, as I quoted a while ago, that we are not our own. That we've been bought with a price. My life verse is Psalm 90, verse 12. I haven't lived up to it, but it's my life verse. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, we ought to live every day for Him. Make full use of every day. Because I can tell you, one day He's coming again. And we ought to live in light of eternity, not the life of here and now. We ought to live in light of eternity and not the life of here and now. Live in light of eternity. That our day is dictated by that He may come back today. Are we ready? Are we ready? A Christian, again, strives to glorify God in everything he does. A Christian is one who has a heart for God. A heart for God. I'm simply stewarding this life. That what little talent I have is not mine, it's God's. Right? What time I have is not mine, my time is God's. What treasure I have, though very little, let's see. See what my wife gave me today. What treasure I have, oh, I have some dollar bills. Dollar bills find their way a lot into offering plates. I won't go into that one. What I have, what little I have is God's. This is not mine. This is God's. God's blessed us with a beautiful home and some vehicles, especially a nice diesel truck, 2007 Duramax diesel. Oh, man. I love to drive that thing. I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. In my life, I've never had to worry about what I'm going to eat. Now, when we first got married, it got close a few times. You know, when that checkbook read 67 cents at the end of the week, right? But we always had food. Never had to worry about it. That's amazing, isn't it? I've been to Mexico. We've been to Honduras. There are people who have to worry about that every day. I haven't. Can be reminded that we're just simply stewards of what God has given us. That God has blessed us to be born. By the way, the Bible says that He hath determined the bounds before appointed and the bounds of our habitation. The times before appointed and the bounds of our habitation. Let me read it, quote it again. That He hath determined, God hath determined the times appointed and the bounds of our habitation. Acts 17. In other words, God is saying that I determined when you were going to be born and where. Hello. I'm thankful what God has given me. I'm simply a steward of what God's given me, and therefore I ought to be a good steward of my time, my talent, and my treasure. A Christian is one who strives to live their life for the Lord, strives to use their time and their talent and their treasure for the Lord, again, to glorify God. A Christian is one who has a heart for God, who endeavors to grow in the Lord, to read their Bible daily and grow, grow, grow. Remember that old kid's song? Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Some of y'all know it, some of you don't. Get the kids down this, you know, and you'll grow, 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 right? No? I remember all the children's songs. It's hilarious. Christian is one who strives to live the Christian life, who strives and endeavors to grow in the Lord. Read their Bible and pray every day and witness and give and tell others of the Lord and pray to the Lord. A Christian is one who endeavors to grow in the Lord. A Christian is one who loves God, who grows together and serves others. A Christian is one who strives to do that. And in Heritage Christian Academy and in our Sunday schools and in our children's church, in all of our ministries, we endeavor to inspire, if you would, a heart for God in the believer. We ought to have a heart for God. By the way, if we have a heart for God, we'll serve others. It'll be the natural reaction to loving God and growing in the Lord is to serve others. Can I say that one more time? The reaction or the result of loving God and growing together is serving others. I'm going to say it again. The result of loving God and growing in the Lord, having that daily walk with the Lord, is looking out for your neighbor. The result is looking out for your neighbor. The result is looking out for your coworker. The result is looking not every man on his own needs, but every man also on the things of others, the needs of others. The result. May we endeavor to have a heart for God. Acts says they were called Christians first at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Because others saw Jesus in them. Others saw Christ in them. They witnessed the life of Christ in His disciples. They witnessed the followers of Christ. I remember as a kid, the preacher getting up and screaming and stomping and around the pulpit and down the aisle and waving his hanky or whatever the case is. And I remember him saying, and it's a great, great thought, if you were brought before your peers, your co-workers and your neighbors, your family, and they were to ask the question, are you a Christian? Do you think this man's a Christian? If they were to try to try you in the court of law and determine whether or not you're a Christian, could they try you and find you guilty? Do others see Christ in you? Pretty pointed, isn't it? Pretty pointed. We'll endeavor again to live a life for Jesus because we're followers of Him. Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've recognized your sin and understand your sin, put Him on the cross? Understand that it must be a price paid for sin, and Christ paid for that price. Christ paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin by His death, burial, and of course His resurrection. Has there been a time when you placed your faith and trust in Him? If not, we're going to sing a song in just a minute. And you can come down front here at the altar, and one of our workers here will show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven, how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first step in being a Christian. And then, Christian, are you imitating Christ in your life? Are you imitating Christ in your life? Are you doing it victoriously by way of the Holy Spirit? This morning, may we strive to live for Him. May we yield to Him daily. Are you a Christian this morning? Oh, you say, well, I was born a Christian. No, it's not about your family heritage. Well, I was born in this great United States, preacher. No, it's not about your American heritage. Well, preacher, I was raised in church. No, it's not about whether you're baptized or joined a church. It's not about whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. No, it's a matter not whether you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your only means of salvation. Christian, this morning, are you living for Him? Let's stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Just As I Am. Love that old hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, God, for Your love in sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, paying for our sins in full. Thank You that He was raised from the dead that we might have eternal life, the power of His resurrection. We ask this morning that You would empower us to be imitators of Your Son, that we would live a life pleasing to You, that we glorify You in our bodies, which are not our own. May we be witnesses and lights to our co-workers and friends and neighbors. And God, would You just give us the strength and energy to do so, that grace which You have promised to give. I pray this morning again, Lord, if there's someone here who does not know You as Savior, they might accept You today. Lord, thank You all You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.